Father God, that's our prayer to you, and that's our hearts overflowing to you. You are so worthy, God, of our praise, of our worship. God, it's you that we have come to worship and to proclaim. It's you, Father, that's the focus of today. Father, thank you for giving us a day like today that we can honor you. May our days, God, be filled with that as we walk through. God, for this morning, we again thank you for your presence and ask your anointing, God, to be on it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, we have chosen to focus upon missions or upon the calling that God has placed on our lives. And Cordell is going to be sharing here in just a moment regarding where God has led him in India and some of the experiences that he's walked through. But one of the things I wanted to begin with today is sort of where I left off last week and the challenge that I have left there. And want us to continue to pray towards and continue to seek God as to where he is leading us as a congregation, but more importantly, that we don't take what he asks us to do, that we don't take the calling that he's placed on our lives frivolously, but we take it seriously. And last week, the title of the morning was Blessed to Be a Blessing, and it came out of Genesis 12, where God called Abram, and he told Abram this, and I want to read this again as a reminder to us. It says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And if we were to, again, boil that down to this understanding that God says, I have blessed you so that you can be a blessing. And we have so much to offer a community. God has blessed us tremendously, not just, and I'm not just thinking monetarily, but God has blessed us with such a gift of his son and to share that with others. The challenge that I left with us is that we would, as a congregation, consider adopting an unreached people group. And there are, if I have my statistics right, there are thousands, there's 6,700 unreached people groups at this point. And the people group that I was talking about, I can't give you their names, I can't pronounce their names, let's just put it that way. But they're in the Northern Caucasus, between the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea in Russia there. And it's a people group that is in a region that is very physically difficult to get to. But second of all, it's very closed nations or people, tribes, so to speak, that do not in any way welcome foreigners often. They're not given visas to get there to really speak about the Lord. They are very Muslim in their faith. And so our prayer is this, that we as a community of believers here at Siloam would adopt two of those people groups and commit to pray on a consistent basis. And, talking with Josh Horst, this is what God has laid on his heart as well, and he challenged me with it. But he says these people groups may not even get people in there for 10 years. And it might be a time for us to commit to long term, not just something short that we pray and then all of a sudden we see the answers coming. But he's talking about this chiseling away at a wall that's there. And the two people groups I have got tagged in this brochure, I've got pictures back on that back table, and I'm going to lay this booklet back there. The one group has 6 different villages in it. The other group has 14. And so I'm again asking us to continue to pray this week. Read through this. It's the only book I've got, so it needs to stay back there. But as you spend some time there reading through those two people groups and just really asking God if these are the people that he wants us to pray for and that those doors are opened. I can't imagine being raised. Cordell, you can come on up. I can't imagine being raised in a family where I didn't know who Jesus was. And what a gift that God has given to us just with our parents and that heritage that we have. And so I can't imagine being raised without any knowledge of it. And our prayer is that we'd be able to reach out and break those walls down, that God would do that to call people. I've asked Cordell to share this morning. I had a wedding yesterday, and so I'm grateful that that Cordell has agreed to share this morning, giving a different voice. And so I want to pray for Cordell as he shares with us. Father, this morning, I thank you that, God, your spirit is alive and active within Cordell. But I thank you as well that you have given Cordell ears to hear and an obedient heart to follow after what you've called him to. So, God, as he shares with us this morning, may our hearts be touched and may we be challenged and may our ears be prompted to listen to where you're asking us, maybe to participate and to go. So bless the words as well as, God, the mouth of Cordell today, and give us ears to hear you. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessings.
Is this on?
There we go. Well, yeah, my name is Cordell Miller once again. To give you a little background of my wife and I, a little under two years ago, we made a decision to go into the REACH program, which is underneath RMM. It's a program for young adults, and we ended up leading a team to India for 6 months, and so I just got back a month or so ago from visiting there a week, and so I just want to start off as an introduction of, well, when I first got back from India, I shared a little bit, and I made the point that, well, okay, I work full-time, I go to school part-time, and I'm a part owner of a small business. And so I said that in the context that I'm a pretty normal person, I think, and I can, like, relate to most of you. Like, I would think that most of us here either go to school or work full-time or are business owners. And so I'm a pretty normal person. I don't like, do missions as, like, a full-time job or anything. It's just a passion that throughout the last several years God's given me, and I've chosen to pursue through obedience, which is very difficult at times. And so I don't feel very adequate standing up here. You know, I think of, like, Merlin or Nate, who are far more experienced in sharing and whatnot when it comes to before an entire church. And so I'm, because of my age especially as well, but I would love to take the opportunity that Vern has given me to share what I've learned and to hopefully inform and share with the congregation. So I'm just going to start off with a slideshow presentation of kind of what I encountered during this last trip, and then we'll see where it takes me after that, because I don't really know. I don't have a structured, like, list of notes and stuff, even though I have used that before. I just didn't feel like, I felt like the amount that the Spirit was talking to me, even, like, this morning at 5:30, or, like, through Nate at Sunday school, it's like, I didn't necessarily want to limit things to my notes, and I just felt like I would kind of go where I felt like I needed to go, so we'll see. But yeah, this is India, and if everyone's aware of the 1040 window, which is a rectangle of the world, which I think it's 95% of the world's unreached people groups reside, India is in that. Oops, wrong button. And it's like the 1040 window kind of comes over and, like, down, and then it continues going up. But yeah, it's a large part of it is in the 1040 window. And so Tarun Nayak is the full-time director over in India, and he's who we worked with full-time. And he has several organizations. Vision India is an evangelistic organization. Voluntary Action in India is more with like literacy programs. And then the House of Hope is the orphanage that they have. These are stats from last year, so they've went up, obviously, from 120 to, I think, probably 160 kids by now. And then the Eden Public School is located there at the orphanage as well. And he's involved in 4 out of the 32 states, I do believe. And Vishakhapatnam is kind of one of the bases right here. This is actually where we would have flown out of. So we actually came in at Bhubaneswar right here, and then throughout the week that we were there, traveled down to about right there. So that doesn't seem very far, but when you're in a Jeep with their roads, it's a total of about 12 hours of driving. So yeah, these are the states that he's involved in and the amount of ministry that he has in those states. And so, like, right here's where we flew in at Bhubaneswar, and then we went to the House of Hope, which is the orphanage and the school. And so, and then we ended up traveling down south here. So just a couple other states that he's involved in. So this year, this is who went with me. To the left is Andrew Souter. He works with RMM. And then right next to him is Tarun Nayak. And then the other guy is Tyler Lapp. He was on my team last year. And he, last year, he was just changed dramatically with his trip there. And he has learned a lot, changed a lot. It's been, I mean, to put it into context, 2 weeks before we were supposed to leave, I didn't want him going with us. That's how much he changed. So to see him have the desire to go back, and it's really been awesome to see his journey. So we started out, we flew in Saturday night. So Sunday morning, we ended up visiting a couple of churches in the slums. This is kind of a picture of what a typical slum area would be like in the city. Bhubaneswar is the capital of the city, and so it's a pretty big city, which means it's a pretty big slum. And so this is an area that his organization is trying to reach, because there's so many people packed into so little room, and a lot of poverty there. And so this is actually kind of the alley that we walk down. The church that we visit is actually just right down there. And so this is the first church that we visited. We were like, Tabrion was like, oh yeah, we'll just go there and pray over them, and then we'll go to the next church. And I end up preaching for half an hour, and so that's how it usually goes. But yeah, the next one we went to, we'd visited before last year, and this is kind of their base church, and so it's a bigger church. But yeah, it was good to see some familiar faces again and fellowship with them. And so we ended up eating lunch there, and this is a typical Indian plate of rice and curry and then some chicken and paratha, which is like it's kind of like a bread of some sorts. And then we traveled the rest of that day to the orphanage, got there at night. And so the next day we spent at the orphanage, and this is kind of a bigger picture of the orphanage. It kind of goes around and then comes back around, and there's more buildings and stuff over here. But this is the majority of the orphanage, and you have the girls that stay mostly in these dorms. The boys stay in these two buildings over here. Then the school is, like, over here and right here. And then the building that I'm standing on is their newest building, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. We took a tour of Eden Public School, which Tyler and I were already very familiar with it. Their grades are like preschool to right now, sixth grade, I think. And so they just started up several years ago. And so the more that they go along, the more that they increase in grades because they keep the same kids. So this has been a great way to, a great outreach to the local Hindu population there, who previously had persecuted the Christians in that area. And so this is the new building that they've been working on well for the past few years. And it's the lower area right here is kind of like the sanctuary and multi-purpose room. And then the upper area right here is actually this room right here. It's about a third of the top of the building, and it's like another multi-purpose room / art center. And so a lot of the art supplies and stuff that you guys donated will be used in here. And then the rest of the building is like smaller rooms and stuff. And the main purpose of the building is to be used in the future for pastor retreats and, or more like training, discipleship training for the younger pastors. And just a few pictures of kind of the girls here. I think I got most of them. This is their bigger room right here. And so most of the older girls sleep in here. And then a couple of the smaller rooms right here. And yeah, this is I know that I've shared quite a bit about the need for beds and mattresses and stuff right there. And this is kind of why they have most of the girls are sleeping to a twin size mattress. And so, you know, for the younger girls, it's not a huge deal, but the bigger they get, the more they don't like to fit two on a bed. And so this is a picture of the boys' rooms, and kind of the same picture. You have they have had a lot more younger boys come in the last year. And so they put all the younger boys in the smaller room, and they have a staff room right next to it. And this is actually a picture from last year of the boys' bigger room. And so they have another half dozen or so beds in there now with the older boys that stay in there. And this is just kind of like the orphanage going throughout the daily day and stuff. Like, you have playing chess, and down here they're making a cricket bat and eating lunch. And up here is, we had afternoon devotions with them. Which was a big part of our ministry last year, is having devotions three times a day. And it's a pretty, pretty important part of the discipleship process that they have. And so later that day, it was about a two and a half hour drive. We visited a smaller church out in a village in the middle of nowhere. And this church has been there for 10 years or so, and they are working on constructing a new church. But they took us to see this church because this church wants to, is interested in small business and using that as a means to finance ministry, because economics there are just, you know, completely different from here, and it's hard to find steady work if you're out in a village. And so right now they have some cows and some goats that they're using. It's not necessarily a steady form of income, and so they're actually wanting to build a chicken house, and that's something that they could see steady income from. It would also allow for a way to interact with the local village, and also a village not too far from there as well. So here is the next day. We had a pastor's conference, and I think, most of these guys are the pastors, and they came from up to, 100 miles away or so, about 50 pastors, and, just had a good time of teaching, and, it doesn't, once again, like, it doesn't necessarily seem adequate that, like, you know, guys our age or with our experience should be teaching. However, with the amount of resources that we have here, compared to them, the amount of interaction that we have with resources other than, you know, a simple Bible, I guess, it's very appropriate, actually. And so, I'm pointing this the wrong way. And then we had lunch afterwards, just a kind of an example of how they cook over a fire. And I'm missing a picture. Oh well. We traveled most of the rest of the next day, and this is just kind of a couple of interesting pictures of us traveling. We stopped to visit a church along the border, and once again, there were about 25 or 30 pastors that came from around that area, and this is kind of a more established church, and so there were quite a few believers in that area, and so once again, just got to share. We went to Vishakhapatnam, and the next day we went down south about 2.5 hours to an area of churches that we had visited last year and went around. And this was kind of their base church, and so these are all pastors that had come from their churches in that area. And so once again, got to saw a lot of familiar faces that we went and we fellowshiped with last time, and it was a really good time. And I think that is it. Yeah. So I like to kind of look at how a trip like this kind of fits into. Okay, this isn't on. I don't think so. How to look at it through, missionally, I guess, because it's like most mission trips, people are like, oh, what did you do there? And I'm like, well, we didn't do much according to Western standards. It's like, you know, what did you build? But really, we just went there and we fellowshipped. You know, last week we talked about the relational aspect of missions. And really that is what it's all about. And in this sense, it is. We went and we prayed and we fellowshiped with these people that, you know, they see a lot of the Western money coming in. And however, they don't see a lot of the Western faces that come along with that money. And so for them to see, to have an idea of what that looks like, it's really powerful for them and really encouraging for them, because you have a lot of these pastors in these villages that are not, they're not in constant fellowship with other pastors or believers. And so for them to be exposed to that in itself is a pretty powerful thing. And so I kind of like to talk about not necessarily poverty, because I think I can get into trouble way too fast with that. But India is a country in need of the gospel, very much so.